Now, remember, we're in a series on grace. That is probably not easy to forget because you're going to hear it all the time. What we try to do is to stress the fact that we are saved by grace plus not one thing. And when you say that, some people want to say, well, this and this and this. Well, we've talked about all that. And last week we asked the question, if we can't lose our salvation, we're going to go to heaven anyway if we believe on Jesus, then why serve him? We looked at that, and we wound up with the word awards, and we talked about that, how the awards are given to us and why and so forth. And they are awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, this is only one of the four judgments that are ahead of us, and I want to look at those today. You have this, by the way, in your bulletin. It's page 4 in your notes, and I've given you that chart. Now, the reason I have it up here is because I want us to talk about it, and I want to point to it. This is a chart of the future resurrections and judgments, but I want to talk about the resurrections first, and then we'll see about the judgments. See these bees here? What bees those bees? They're believers, okay? The bees are believers. And the U's are unbelievers. That's fair enough. So you see I have this section of bees in the Old Testament time, not to scale. In the Old Testament time, there were believers who died, and their bodies are in the grave. Now those Old Testament believers are with the Lord, up here with the Lord, as all of these other believers are, up here with the Lord. Now, there's going to be a resurrection. There are two resurrections. There's resurrection 1 and resurrection 2 over here. And if you can't see, you see where I'm pointing, look down at your chart. Now, there's going to be, at the rapture of the church, this is the church age. Church starts here. There are the bees, the church age, which is pictured here. At the rapture, these believers will be resurrected. And those who are alive and remain, Paul says, will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. But when we go up there, then there's going to be a judgment. That judgment is in heaven. That's the judgment seat of Christ, the judgment of believers' works, church believers' works. Okay, that's J1, judgment. Now, you see R1A, R1B, R1C, all of that is the resurrection having to do with life, having to do with believers. All the first resurrection, Christ the first fruits, and then those that are Christ that is coming here and here. When the Lord comes, the bodies of these believers will be taken up, and so all the believers have been resurrected at this point, and that is the first resurrection. Right? Then the second resurrection has to do with all the unbelievers from Adam right on down, from Adam's time. I think Adam was not an unbeliever. But all the unbelievers of all time will be caught up, will be resurrected, and will stand before the Great White Throne Judgment, which is J4. There are two other judgments, J2 and J3, the judgment of Israel and the judgment of the Gentiles. I'll label them 1, 2, 3, and 4. So I just want you to see an overview of the judgments before we start on 1. So I'm going to talk about those various judgments. I know it's going to be more like a classroom, but what's wrong with a classroom? But in a classroom, you learn. The idea that, well, we ought to jump up and down and holler at people is just a little bit beyond what I see in Scripture. I am a pastor teacher. Teacher. And that's what I'm trying to do. Now, the judgments. The judgment of believers' works is the first one, and I've given it to you. I'm going to discuss this one later, because that's where I'm headed. I want to talk about the judgment seat of Christ, but I don't want to do it in isolation. I want to see all the judgments. Now, the judgment of the nation Israel, that's number 2, actually. The judgment of the nation Israel, the scripture you find in Ezekiel 20. See that? I said, Ray, maybe we could put it on the screen, although there's going to be a lot of scripture. So Ray says, have them open their Bibles. So there it is. Open your Bibles. Of course, if you have it memorized, that's something else. But if you look in your Bible, you'll see and maybe make a little mark or something about the judgment. This is the judgment of the nation Israel, Ezekiel 20. Let me recommend something to you. Read all of Ezekiel. It's a great book about all that God says about Israel. This is what I did for you. I made a covenant with you way back with Abraham. I made another covenant with you to take you into the land. I made another covenant with you. You're my people, see? And look what you did to me. You went and did all kinds of things against me. But then he says in Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 34, "As I live, says the Lord, surely with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out, I will rule over you." Do you think he's ruling over them right now? No. But he will. "I will rule over you. I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you are scattered, with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out." He's going to gather them together. The gathering together that you see on the scene now is not the gathering of Ezekiel 20. It is not. Oh, you thought it was. No. It's a Zion movement to people wanting to go to Israel. That's not what he's talking about here, because they're going to be scattered again. Again, they'll be scattered. And then he's going to gather them again into a place that he's going to talk about. He said, "I will gather you with an outstretched arm and with fury poured out, and I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will plead my case with you face to face, just as I pleaded my case with your fathers in the wilderness and the land of Egypt. I will plead my case with you, says the Lord. I will make you to pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." Now, what do you mean, pass under the rod? Well, it's a judgment thing. The shepherd would make an enclosure of some kind in the wilderness to bring his sheep together, and he would bring them in. He would have a rod. He would hold a rod there and so that they could not get through until he looked at them. "Yeah, that's mine. Go ahead. Get out of here. You're not my sheep," because there are a lot of sheep out there. He wanted only his. And so passing under the rod was to say, "Are you my sheep?" That's the idea. To make you pass under the rod. And he's going to purge out the rebels that are in there. Verse 38, "I will purge the rebels from among you, and those who transgress against me, and I will bring them out of the country where they dwell, but they shall not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord." That's the judgment of the nation Israel. Frankly, I think that there's more to it than just everybody gathered together. I believe he's talking here about the tribulation period. And it's the tribulation period that is the period when he's going to purge out the rebels. Romans 11:26 says this. It's just the one verse. "All Israel will be saved." What do you mean, all Israel? Well, "There shall come out of Zion a deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Turn away the ungodly people from Jacob. It's not a man, it's the nation. "I will purge and deliver and turn away ungodliness from Jacob." I think that's the tribulation period, when he refines the nation Israel so that at the end it is a nation in which there is no ungodliness. Now, I've given you in your notes another scripture, and that is Matthew 25, 1 to 13. Now, I'm not going to read that one, but you can turn to it if you'd like. Matthew 25, 1 to 13. In fact, we'll be there quite a while. Matthew 25, 1 to 13. It's the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. And I hear many people saying, well, this is talking about the time when he's going to separate the unbelievers from the believers. I think not. I think all 10 of those virgins are believers. All 10. Some get invited into the feast and others do not because they're not prepared. But that's what he's talking about. Some will be left out of the feast, left out of the reigning in the kingdom because they're not prepared when the bridegroom comes. But that's all about judging Israel in any case. Now, the time and the place, at the return of Christ to the earth. When Christ comes to the earth, then this judgment will have ended. It's on the earth, in the wilderness, around Jerusalem somewhere. He's going to bring them in. They were in the wilderness, remember, when he brought them out of Egypt, and they would not enter into the land. He brought them in and made them wander in the wilderness until that generation died off, and then the new generation came into the land. It's the same kind of thing, going to judge them in the wilderness of the people. Now, the people involved then are the people of Israel, the people at that time, not all, not resurrected. These are all people living on the earth at the time. So there are no resurrected people involved. And in Matthew 25, they're all believers by that time. Then the purpose is, as Ezekiel puts it, to purge out the rebels, all ungodliness out of Israel, so that they'll be ready for the kingdom that God has been promising them down from Abraham on. So preparing them for the kingdom, which was promised beginning in Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. The basis will be whether they are believers or not believers, as far as the Ezekiel judgment is concerned. As far as Matthew 25, virgins, then that has to do with their preparedness, prepared for the coming of the Lord. And then the result is the prepared ones will rule and the others will not. And those who are purged out, of course, they are sent to hell and their bodies will be resurrected with the unbelievers at the great white throne. Now, that's the judgment of the nation of Israel. You see, there are many people who say there's only one judgment. Everybody's going to be resurrected and there's going to be one big judgment. Not true. There are two resurrections and there are four judgments. And that's what we want to stress, because otherwise you may get the idea that, oh, you'll read something about a judgment. Well, that's for me. No, that's not for you. Another one is for you, but you ought to see that. Especially this one, the judgment of the Gentiles. Now, this is in Matthew 25 also, verses 31 to 46. And if you're there and you can follow along, this is a long passage, but I think I need to read it so we get a good context for this one. Here it is, Matthew 25, beginning with verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, he shall sit on the throne of his glory, and all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides sheep from the goats. And he will set up the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And then he'll say to them, come to the ones on the right hand, he'll say, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Does that sound familiar? He told the Jews, there's a kingdom that I promised you, and the first time he promised them a kingdom was in Genesis 12 to Abraham and his descendants. But he says here, it was prepared for you from the foundation of the world to these Gentiles. See, it's Israel's kingdom, but the kingdom is for the world. See? And he says, it's for you from the foundation of the world I planned that. He's going to have a kingdom which he planned way back when he planned the whole creation. So, and I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And the righteous are going to say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Or when did we see you a stranger and took you in and naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? And the king will answer them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. This is not something that we're looking at and say, this is what we ought to be doing. There's nothing wrong with helping people, but this passage is not for us today. These are the Gentile nations who have come through the tribulation period. And it's during that seven-year period of tribulation that Jesus is talking about. And his brethren are the 144,000 who have been the evangelists during that time. And he's saying, you help them. Well, how would they help them? Well, they helped them by giving them food when they didn't have any food. You can't buy or sell, remember, unless you have the mark of the beast. And these evangelists are sealed by God. Beast can't kill them, but here they are, and they're trying to scrape out a living. They can't buy or sell. And so Christians find them. They're hauled off to prison. So what happens? Maybe not just them, but others, believers, hauled off to prison. Well, what happens? Well, not you, but the believer who's there in that period, following the rapture, during that seven-year period, the believer, he sees somebody who is sick. He helps him. And then he sees a guy hauled off to prison. Well, what do you do? If you go visit him, it's your neck. If you get caught at it. But he says, you went and visited them, these brothers. So it's during this time when it's going to cost you your life if you do it. Very likely to cost you your life. When you do that, then he says, that's what I'm talking about. That's what Jesus is talking about during that time. So when the righteous say, when did we see you? He said, oh no, when you did it to one of my brethren, you did it to me. Now in verse 41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, remember these are the goats, these are the unbelievers, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not visit me. And they will answer, and you can see it coming. They'll say to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty or a stranger and naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? He will answer saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of least of these, you did it not to me. If you didn't do it to them, you didn't do it to me. And then these will go away into everlasting punishment. That is, these who did not help their brothers, because that's an indication that they were not believers. But the rest go into eternal life, into the kingdom. Now, what is all that about? Well, I've given you an outline. The time and place. It's at the return of Christ to the earth. It may be in the valley, this is my own heresy, but when the Lord returns to the earth, where does he return? Where does his foot step? First time. What do you got? On the Mount of Olives. Right. On the Mount of Olives. That's on the east side of Jerusalem. And Zechariah tells us that when his foot steps on the Mount of Olives, the Mount of Olives is going to split, and it's going to open up half going that way and half going the other way. There's going to be a big valley in the middle. My theory is that that's where these Gentiles are going to be tried. Because that's on the east side of Jerusalem. What else is on the east side of Jerusalem? The temple is there. See? So I can see the Lord coming out of that eastern gate and standing there and judging the people in that big valley that has been created by his coming to step on the Mount of Olives. So it's going to be there on the Mount of Olives or in somewhere in the area where he judges the nations. Now, remember, there won't be very many people there. The earth has been decimated. Billions of people have died from plagues and from this and from that till there are not a lot of people on the earth. I wouldn't even hazard a guess as to how many. But it's not like there would be today, all the Gentiles. So here they are, and he's judging them on the basis of what they did to the brethren during the tribulation period. Right? Now, the people involved then are only Gentiles. There are no Jews involved in this, only Gentiles. As he points them out, Gentiles, all nations. And the purpose is to separate the believers from the unbelievers. And the basis of that judgment is how they treat Jesus' brethren, the 144,000 Jews or other Jewish believers in that time. This is a unique time of testing. It's a unique test during a unique time. That is, you don't judge people today. The Lord doesn't say, because you work, therefore I know you're a believer. That's not it. He's showing them that during this time, when it would cost you your life to minister to my brethren, you didn't do it. And therefore, if you did do it, that shows you're a believer. If you didn't do it, you're not a believer. But that's a special time. It's not a basis of who's a believer today. The sheep go into the kingdom. The goats go to Hades for 1,000 years. Awaiting that final judgment of unbelievers, which is our next scripture, the great white throne judgment. This is Revelation 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades delivered up the dead that were in them. And I believe, by the way, that the dead here is not just people who have died, but the dead spiritually. the dead that were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. So the judgment at the great white throne judgment is a judgment of works, and then we'll talk about that in a minute. And then death and Hades are cast into the lake of fire, death meaning the unbelievers, and all that were in Hades cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. They died once, now they die in a second time. And anyone not found written in the book of life is cast into the lake of fire. Now, time and place. We're talking about over here. All these unbelievers are standing now before the Lord. They've been resurrected, second resurrection, and they're standing here at the judgment seat of at the great white throne judgment. Now, this is after the millennium, after this 1,000 years reign of Christ on the earth. After that, then this resurrection and judgment. So it's after the 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth. The people involved are all unbelievers at all times, and they are raised in the second resurrection. That's who the people are, all unbelievers there. The purpose is to determine, first of all, remember said there were books open? The reason for the books, they are judged according to their works out of the things that were written in the books. We used to sing a song, "My Lord is writing all the time, time, time." Well, with all those things in the books, he must have been. All the things are there. All these people, unbelievers, have been doing works for which they're being judged. I used to say, and I used to think, that it doesn't matter about the unbelievers, whatever they do. Let them just go ahead, because it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter, because the unbelievers, apparently, this judging out of these books of their works determines the degree of punishment that they're going to have. Now, what do you mean, degree of punishment? Did you ever read Dante's Inferno? Oh, y'all read it. It's great. It's totally out of his head, but it's a picture showing all the different people, how way down the bottom, that's really hot down there, and that's his picture of it. And Satan is there, and Judas is there, you know, and then up along, way up high, and other people around the edge, you know. That's a good picture, I think, of the degrees of punishment, because they're going to be judged according to their works. Jesus said one time, the one who is beaten with many stripes, see, that I think in one of his parables, that I believe pictures this kind of thing. So that's the degree of punishment, because they're all going to hell. Question is, where? And then the second purpose is to demonstrate that their names were not in the book of life. This is God's grace to the disgraceful. You know, here they are, unbelievers. They're being judged. And then the book is open, this big book is open, which is the book of life. And then when he says, whoever was not found in that book was cast into the lake of fire. Well, I can see them searching, going through. Nope, name's not there, go. Name's not there, go. What grace. God saying, listen, I want to make sure, or want you to know for sure, or whatever it is. It's just a picture of the grace of God saying, you're not in the book of life, therefore you go to hell. The last check. So the result then is they all go to the lake of fire. Now, this brings us to the judgment seat of Christ. This one's over here. This is where we will be. And that's why I want to talk about it separately. Next week we'll talk about the judgment seat of Christ alone. Anyway, I hope that'll help you to have a picture of what's ahead for us. But let me remind you of a few things. First, all men, everybody, will stand before God. Everybody's responsible to God. Whether they believe in God or not, they will stand before God. But if all the bad people stand before God, don't forget, the good people do too, you know. The believers will stand before God as well. And we're going to look at that next week. But we have a responsibility to serve the Lord. Oh, we're saved by grace. We're no way we can not go to heaven. But it's important for us to understand that there are rewards to be given out. And one day we're going to stand before the Lord and receive those rewards. And we'll be talking about that a little more next week.